This is Laura Hale. I'm interviewing Cameron with a hyphenated last name. Mitchell Gourley. Yeah. I think I pronounced that right. Toby Kane.
Yes.
And they're in...
Hello.
Copper Mountain to compete at the IPC NORAM Cup.
Yes.
So you guys can qualify for Sochi?
Not this race, but yeah.
Any races that we kind of do, I think we can qualify. But technically for the APC, it would have to be a World Cup for us to qualify.
Yeah. And where's the World Cup?
It's one in Australia.
We have one this year in Italy, in Sestria, and one in St. Moritz in Switzerland. And
one in Slovenia, in Rogla.
Yeah.
And Russia. And then
Russia.
World Championships in La Molina, in Spain as well. And then Russia, the test event, is another World Cup in Sochi.
So you guys are all skiers, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
None of you, when they said we're doing snowboarding, said I want to jump ship and do snowboarding?
No.
No. No. You all love the skiing?
What did you do to your chin?
I had a crash last week and I split my chin open. Mm. I need myself. Yeah, so I had stitches.
Crash skiing, right?
Yeah.
13 stitches.
Oh. Yeah. Which
so,
our physio gladly took out last night.
Yeah.
So, as somebody who knows very little about Paralympic skiing, I have a question, having watched it. There seems to be three types of skiers. There's the ones who are in the mono chairs, the ones who are blind, and the ones with amputations, and the ones without arms.
Yeah.
Now, I've had this debate. Who's the craziest amongst you? The ones who can't see, the ones with no arms, or the ones on the mono ski?
Oh, that's...
The completely blind people are pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Because they're like...
A B1 is blacked out goggles.
Who just follows the sound of their guides. So they're probably, when it comes to speed events, you know, in terms of fear level, that's pretty intense.
So not having arms you don't think would be scarier?
No.
Yeah, but you can see where you're going. And you probably have more control.
You have to be fairly crazy.
Trust the other person in front of you as a B1
skier. You have to be fairly crazy to do a downhill in a sit ski.
Yeah, because those guys, when they start crashing or when they have a mistake, they can't, because they're strapped in, they can't recover in the same way that maybe a stand-up can. So even though those classes aren't going as quickly, probably stand-ups in general have a bit more control. And to recover.
Yeah.
So,
what are your... Can you go and tell me your classifications?
Yeah, well, we all ski in the standing class, so I've just got...
Yeah, like L1...
LW6/8-2. 6/8-2. These guys are LW2s because they've both got one leg.
Yeah, so we ski with just one leg.
Yeah.
And we have instructors, whereas you've got people who have got maybe a below-knee amputation, or Toby is, but he's a bit short.
Yeah.
They may have a longer stump and they ski with a prosthetic. Toby and I effectively will just ski on one ski.
And what you were referring to before is the three classes of alpine skiing is standing.
Yeah.
So anyone who is standing, sitting, and blind.
Yep.
So
I'm trying to think. So you've all been to Paralympics before.
Yeah.
So
Cam's been to three. I've been to two. Mitch has been to one.
Okay. And what was your favourite one? Do you have one?
Vancouver
would have been.
Was that because you love Canadians?
I mean, it's also obviously, you know, our skiing comes down to results as well. So, I love Salt Lake City. I was there for experience. Oh, that was great. My second one, I had a bit of a disaster Paralympics. I didn't ski too well. So, it was Sestriere in 2006. So, yeah, the last one, I was able to come away with a couple of medals. So, you know, that was... I enjoyed that, obviously, yeah, so... They all had different aspects.
So how did the ski slopes compare between them?
Vancouver and Italy are fairly
sort of similar.
They're good slopes,
Salt Lake City was a little bit flatter, probably the type of hill. It was still good. I mean, it was my first games, I enjoyed it. But, they usually prepare the courses reasonably well. Because I've got a lot of course workers and the snow, because that has a big influence on the actual conditions, not just the actual hill itself. Vancouver was a challenge in the sense that we have terrible weather, terrible conditions and snow, even though it's a good hill.
Yep.
You know, whereas I think Sestriere we had sunshine virtually every day. So a lot of it comes down to weather as well as the hill, you know, just the time of the year that you're actually at the place.
As in Australia, the big... visibility Paralympics are this summer. Do you guys ever feel vaguely... I know it's a wrong question to ask, but do you ever feel vaguely cheated because you're doing neglected, you don't get the attention, the ABC's like, nah, we don't want to cover you?
Give us the official answer.
No, you know, Australia being a summer sport. Australia being a summer sport, you know, we're aware that there's going to be more focus on the summer games, and particularly because there's a vast, there's a larger, more athletes, there's more events, there's more medals. You know, you there will always be more coverage towards the summer games. You know, there's no winter athlete that could walk away with more than 5 gold medals. Just there's not enough events for that in skiing. Whereas I think you can get a swimmer who might get 8 gold medals. So it's a different sort of exposure.
And realistically, it's pretty unlikely for anybody in winter sport, no matter how good they are, to walk away with more than 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the sport, which is that anyone can crash. You need the best gear all year and then crash. You know, 3 times or have a shocker. Dobbs can tell you about that in Vancouver.
So.
But,
It's
a pretty unpredictable sport.
The way that our sport moved after Salt Lake City is that instead of Cam and I skiing against each other and only one people with one leg, to being really competitive across those 3 classes means that we think that the Winter Games are really, really competitive and quite difficult to win a medal. I think if you took Michael Milton as an example, he won 4 gold in Salt Lake out of 4 events. He won 1 silver in Torino out of 4 events.
With the new system.
With the new system, and he compared both experiences to be equal. So, yeah, I think you've got to look at the value of the medals in the Winter Games now as being quite high.
So you guys like the new point system that they implemented?
Like, there's always challenges because you've got different classes and varied conditions, so they try and adapt the times to fit, but it'll never be something that can be always right because we've got a sport that's got different conditions and different locations as opposed to a swimming pool where you know you've got 50 metres.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's something that'll always be a challenge, but in saying that, it has raised the bar in terms of the standard of skiing, which is good, you know, and as I said, you know, from an Australian perspective, not necessarily the public going to be aware of that, but I think from an international perspective, you know, the skiing has, you know, sort of moved into a more professional area, which is good, and I think that will be the best thing for the sport moving forward.
Evan O'Hanlon at the Summer Games is talking about the disparity problem between able-bodied athletes and athletes with disabilities in terms of sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have, like, no visibility. Is that something that you guys sit there going, we should have the same sponsorship as the great Australian skiers?
The
problem in that circumstance is that our sport,
we're
probably the most visible alpine skiers from Australia.
Can you tell Eric the videos downstairs?
The able-bodied team is pretty average. has been for a few years now since a couple of guys retired after Vancouver. So we probably... while it's still very small, it's a lot less than what the Summer Paralympics guys, let alone the Olympic guys. We probably are more visible than the Australian Alpine team.
Sport in general.
Yeah. I think a few of us, Cam and I, and I think Mitch is along the same lines, is that we're not here for a career as an athlete.
Yeah.
So I know I haven't actively pursued a lot of sponsorships. I have a life away from skiing with what I'm doing at university, and I'm here because I really love to do it and I love to compete, but I'm not overly fussed about the public recognition of it all. I'm more concerned with skiing with our able-bodied counterparts and showing them what we can do, kind of thing.
Do you guys get equal treatment then? I mean, do you share the same facilities, same trainers, that sort of stuff?
I think so. We train on the same hills.
And last week we ran pretty much the same races.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of sort of, it's an able-bodied NORAM Cup last week on the same hill that we're racing on next week. And we 4 ran that, so we ran at the start. And like with you know, 100 of sort of, that's one level below World Cup for able-bodied skiers. And we're skiing on the same hill and running pretty comparable times.
Yep.
And, you know, getting a lot of comments from coaches and athletes there. And, you know, that's what we all, I think, strive for.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, it's an awkward thing to ever try and illustrate it to the Australian public, ski racing, and let alone Paralympic ski racing and what we're doing. So if we can, yeah, so we kind of accept that we're not going to get the recognition publicly, probably, that we may or may not deserve, but, and we more look towards our peers, whether they're able-bodied or disabled, and if they respect it, you know, if the best able-bodied skiers in the world respect what we're doing and think we're doing it bloody well, then, you know, we can kind of hold our head high and feel pretty good. You know, Tobes had one of the best slalom skiers in the world walk up to him 3 or 4 years ago now when we were training and say, yeah, that's some of the best slalom skiing I've ever seen. Like, that's incredible on one leg, and you know, I couldn't do that on one leg, and that kind of thing. And so that's obviously makes us all feel, you know, like we're doing something that, while the recognition might not be there from public, that we feel as though we are doing a really competitive and really difficult sport and doing it to a really high level.
So you mentioned Australia being like a country of summer sports. What attracted you to winter sport in the first place?
I think it's some better sports.
It comes down to it.
I mean, yeah, Australians, considering we don't have many hills, Australians do love skiing, those who do it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a unique sport in the sense that you get to travel at high speeds, you know, on different mountains all over the world, and just, you know, under your own power, you know, going down a hill at 130 or something k's an hour, that sort of thing, you don't get, you know, to me, running up and down a track or...
I think we all feel like we chose quite a fun sport.
Yeah,
there's not that many people, like, that many sports that people, that a lot of people spend heaps of their own money to go and do as a pastime, you know, as something that they want to do on their holidays or with their family and all that kind of stuff, you know. So it's kind of cool that that's what we do. Like, lots of people will spend it, like, money to go skiing, and that's our sport.
Yeah, you
know, not many people are going to pay a heap of money to stare at a black line on a pool or to run around a track. Like,
no.
It's just not that enjoyable.
Yeah, we, you know, we love, and that's why I've done it for so many years, because I love the sport, you know. I mean, racing's one thing, but, you know, if I didn't enjoy skiing, I wouldn't be here. And there's not a day when, I mean, you have cold days and weather and stuff, but you don't, you know, for us to get out and get on the hill isn't a burden, I don't think, in the same way as, you know, other sports can be.
I think the change for me, and I think I could speak for Cam as well, because he's been around for a while, but the change between racing in so many classes to racing in so few probably kept us around, I think.
Yeah.
It made it a lot more competitive. It made it a lot more of a challenge than previously it wouldn't have been. And I think if we took an LW2 class right now, we'd be getting similar results to what Michael got, you know, in Salt Lake City.
Just raffle it off.
Yeah.
It's just out of that, like...
So the fact that it did get a lot more competitive is probably why I've been here for so long, and the challenge to keep improving and keep performing at the highest level.
Are there any skiers that you're looking forward to racing against this week coming up?
This week, I think, you know, Australia has a pretty good, strong team from a standing perspective, so we're probably racing against each other.
So you don't care about, like, these Chileans or whoever hanging around?
The Canadian and the American team are here, and they've got some developing athletes, but it's probably more the Europeans who are developing, who have got the highest others in our particular division.
And
the Americans are very strong with their sit skis. So this week, being just a North American-based race, you know, probably be sort of looking against these, you know, the other two. In terms of racing, but yeah, it'll be when we get over to the World Cups over in Europe in January. That's when, you know, getting the whole field together, that'll give us an idea of who else we're racing against. Yeah.
So I feel like we're almost coming to a close. What do you do outside of skiing, sir? Because you have some life, you said.
Yeah, I work as a physiotherapist, and I have a family now. So I've actually, since Vancouver, I haven't skied a huge amount since then. I've got a little boy, and so other priorities definitely start to take effect. I think as a skier, it's a challenge from the travelling perspective when you do have family. That's probably unlike a lot of summer athletes who've got their training base, you know, next door, or, you know, for us, we need to be always on the move. So that's always one of the challenges with alpine skiing, that you get the privilege of travelling, but you're away from your family. So for me, my last year, I've sort of focused more on family life and sort of getting back into the skiing this year.
What do you do, Mitchell?
I'm still studying. You know, I'm a bit younger than these guys, so I'm...
which university?
I'm at Melbourne University studying commerce. I've got pretty much a year to go now. That'll take me 2 years just because of where Sochi is. In March 2014, I'll cut back this year coming, 2013, and then only do probably about half. I'll end up doing 5 subjects as opposed to 8, just because with the amount of travelling we'll do during the year and prepping, we tend to ski in a games year like that in the Australian winter, June through to sort of the end of September, pretty much flat stick. So last time I did that leading into Vancouver, I mean, I do a lot of it every year, but probably a bigger load in the games year lead up kind of thing. And I did that in the middle of year 12 the last time, and that was interesting. But now I can actually...
You finished your VCEs then?
Yes, I finished that
And you did well?
Before Vancouver. Yeah, I was happy with how it went, so that was good.
You went to Melbourne. Of course you did well.
Yeah. So, and so that was good. I mean, I moved schools to pursue sort of what I was doing with skiing to an international school that really helped structure things around me, my environment, and I sort of cut back on subjects and things, but managed to kind of make it work over those times. But for me, it's university for another couple of years, or a year and a half or so, to knock that over, and then I have to think about getting a real job, and that's a scary thought, getting a real job and or potentially doing further study based on the Melbourne model being what it is now, that you can't really do much with your first degree. And we have the US to blame for that. Sort of.
I mean...
No, you. No, US degree.
So, and Toby, what are...
I'm halfway through postgraduate medicine. So I am just trying to balance that and getting to Russia. And Russia will be my third games and most probably my last. And that'll be the start of my fourth year of medicine. So, I'm a bit like Cam. I've skied probably less over the last 2 years since Vancouver, just with uni, and but I'm kind of looking forward to kind of putting everything that I've got left in me into skiing until Russia. So
that's cool. Thank you very, very much. That was much appreciated.
We look forward to seeing you guys in Russia.
Cool. Yeah. All right.